This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers, today the people that have made the intention to perform Hajj, they begin their Hajj. Alhamdulillah, they gather now as we speak, they're preparing themselves to head to Mina. And tomorrow they'll head to Arafah, where they will stand there. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. The most important part of the Hajj would be to stand at Arafah. I remind myself and you that tomorrow is one of the most rewarding times to fast, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to do. So I encourage myself and I encourage you to do the same, to fast tomorrow. But what I want to talk about today in the khutbah is related to Hajj, but it is something that you and I also need to think about and to apply in our lives in a practical way. Those people that are heading out for the Hajj, those people that have made the intention to go into the state of Ihram, they are words that they will be reciting for the next few days. Those of you that have performed Hajj and Umrah, you are very familiar with these words. And my dua for you. For those of you that have not yet performed the Umrah and the Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. And most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you and reward you abundantly for it. But for those of us, even if we haven't been, we've heard these words before. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. La sharika lak. These words the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started reciting from Dhul Hulayfa, just outside of Medina, until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam threw the jamarat on the 10th day, on the day of Eid, the Jamaratul Aqaba. He kept on repeating these words, and the Muslims that were with him, they kept on saying these words. What I want to talk to you about today is, what do these words mean? And how is it that we can all start applying the meaning of this talbiyah, this proclamation? How can we start implementing it in our own lives, even though we are very far away from Makkah and Mina and Muzdalifah and Arafah? How can the meaning of the talbiyah find its way into our hearts and into our lives? Listen to these words again. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, ya I am. I have responded to your call. I'm at your service. I'm at your service. You repeat it twice. What does this mean? Oh Allah, thousands of years ago, you told Ibrahim to make an announcement to the people that they should perform Hajj to this house. A house that was in the middle of nowhere for most people. There was nothing that grew there and there was nothing to attract the people there. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose it to be a buk'a mubarakah, a very, very blessed place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the well of Zamzam to sprout from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a people and a civilization to take care of His house. And Ibrahim and his son, they built the Kaaba. And for thousands of years, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have performing the pilgrimage and the Hajj and the Umrah to this place. So as Muslims, we are only continuing in this tradition. And we are responding not only to the call of Ibrahim, but to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, Ya ayyuhan nasu hujju, O people, perform the hajj, perform the pilgrimage. And now we find those millions of people are gathered there in doing what? What are they doing? They are there answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Allah and His Messenger. And that is what the talbiyah must mean to us and what we need to reflect on. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, do you and I also, do we also say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik? The muadhin recites and reads and he calls out five times a day, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, come to the salah, come to success. Do we say labbaik, oh Allah, yeah I am. I'm responding to that call. I am here to answer and to obey. I am at your service. This ibadah that I'm about to engage in is more beloved to me than anything else that could keep me busy. Do you want to know, my dear brothers, what the meaning of khashya and fear is? That meaning of khashya and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the heart being filled with that is it shows when you are in private and you are alone. But it also shows when you have to make a decision between Allah and the dunya, or between the dunya and the akhirah. What do you choose? Those hujjaj, many of them could have taken that money. They could have said, I know people in Cape Town, South Africa, where I'm from. These people, they bake donuts every single Sunday, and they say for 20, 30 years, they put away a few ringgit every week, every month. And they say for years, and until they have enough money, they purchase, you know, the ticket and the accommodation and everything they need. Why? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, yeah, I am in service to you. Because nothing else matters more than this love and this obedience and servitude, this surrender and submission that I must and should show to you. If you think about the rest of it, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Oh Allah, yeah, I am. You have no partners. Allah, you have no rival. You have no one that can challenge you. So there's no one that is worthy of my ibadah. There is no one that is worthy of this kind of response that I have made to your call and your commands more than you. No one is more deserving. Inna alhamda, all praise belongs to you. All praise, I am here. Whether it is salah or zakah or the fasting of the month of Ramadan or it is the hajj. Why am I here? Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. These three things, I want us all to ponder about it. I want you to ponder these three things. All praise is due to Allah. There isn't another being that you know of that is deserving of all praise exclusively. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not our parents, not those who have given us employment, not our leaders. No one is worthy of unrestricted, exclusive praise, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you perform the hajj, you make this statement. Every time you pray, you're making that same statement. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All praise is due to Allah. What are you saying? There's no one more perfect, greater, more exalted than you, O Allah. Because you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are my creator. You are the one who sustains me and everything in existence. So you are worthy of all of my praise, all of my love, all of my servitude, all of my energy should be directed towards you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ni'mata, every ni'mah that you and I possess, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who has bestowed upon us. You will recall many weeks ago when we spoke about the meaning of the word Rabb. And we said the word Rabb, of its six meanings that the ulama of the Arabic language mentioned, we said that of those six, we'll talk about three. The nourisher, the sustainer, and the provider. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has provided you with everything. He nurtures you and me and everything. Everything that we know of, everything that exists. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains it. For those of you that come from a science background, When you study physics, especially astrophysics, and you talk about, you know, how finely tuned this universe is, and you talk of those of you that come from a medical background, and you look at the human body and how perfectly it has been created. Every ni'mah that we have, the beating of our hearts, the sun that we enjoy, all of these things come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every ni'mah. An-ni'mata laka wal mulk. And this is the last thing that I want us to think about of these three. Al-mulk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dominion over everything. Therefore, it is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands and prohibitions of Allah that must be all-encompassing. Everything must be subservient to that. And that's what you're saying when you perform your hajj. Oh Allah, I am here recognizing my place in the cosmos. I'm here recognizing my place in this world that you have created. Because I know who you are, and I now know who I am. That I am your abd. And I am under your dominion and your sovereignty, O Allah. La sharika lak. And you end off your talbiyah by saying that, O Allah, you have no partners. This is the essence of tawheed. This is the call of the prophets. What did they call people to? It was to make sure that ibadah, this love, this fear, this hope, this salah, this sujood, this sadaqah, everything that we do, whether it be the actions of the heart or the actions of our limbs, they are exclusively for the one who is deserving of it, because no one else deserves it except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama mentioned a few meanings of the word, or the word talbiyah, or the talbiyah. And that's what I want to share with you before ending our khutbah, so that we think deeply, not only about the talbiyah, but also about everything else that we recite. A few days ago, I was teaching my Quran lesson, and one of the girls, she was reciting from Surah Ar-Rum. That was her, you know, her hifth for the day, or hafazan, the third page of Surah Ar-Rum. And one of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and from His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the differences in your languages and in your colors. So I stopped the class. I said, everyone close your mushafs. We want to look at this ayah for a few minutes. If you think deeply about this, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creation of the heavens and the earth. You could talk about that. You could think about it, and your astonishment would not end. Just this universe, just this earth that we live in, even ourselves, you could study the human body and you would spend your entire life being amazed and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and everything else. But then Allah says something that we all pay attention to. Anyone who's traveled, or even anyone who just lives in Malaysia, these different languages that we hear, Bahasa Melayu, English, you listen to people coming from around the region, they're all speaking to one another. This one is speaking in Nepalese, that one is speaking in Hindi, another person is speaking in Tagalog, and so on and so forth. Allah is saying that there are signs in that for you to pay attention to. What I want to point out is that one ayah has so much to reflect on. That the person who is engaged in the recitation of the Quran or in salah, that person has much to ponder and much to think about. But yet, we find ourselves, and how many people complain to me, they say, Sheikh, you know, I'm reading the Quran, I'm praying, but I just don't feel that effect on my heart. I don't feel it making a difference in my life. What should I do? Many people complain about this. And so I'm here to tell you that one of the solutions, not the only, but one of the solutions, is to understand what it is you are reciting. If we did this khutbah, or we did a class about the talbiyah before people left for the hajj, I am sure that they would pay much more attention to what they were saying on a daily basis. Even just with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we would pay attention to that. What does that mean? What are the implications? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveying? It is extremely important. So let me share this with you. The first of these meanings is that Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik means, Oh Allah, I am answering and I'm answering and I'm answering. You called and here I am. That's when you come to the masjid five times a day, that's exactly what you are doing. There was a call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you, and you came. Isn't that amazing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you, and you came. You fulfilled what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from you. Right now, you sitting in this masjid, you are here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you and you came. You might not know about the ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. You might not have memorized it or studied it, but you know that you need to be here, so you came. So the first meaning of the talbiyah is to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, it means, oh Allah, yeah, I am to obey and submit myself to you. You called, how can I be of service? That's what you are saying. You know, when we were younger and we lived with our parents and our mother called us and then we didn't go. And then she said, Tariq, and we didn't go. And then she called another time, Tariq, and then you didn't go because your smart aleck answer was, if she wanted me to come, she would say, come. Isn't it so? She would say, Tariq, come here, come to the bedroom, come to the kitchen. She'd say something. So we had this response. But this year is not just responding. This talbiyah, this response is, I'm coming, but what do you want me to do? And the hajj, the musalli, the person who fasts, the person who gives his zakah, his sadaqah, whatever he does this and he says, oh Allah, you commanded. Not only am I going to show up in person, but I'm going to do what you want me to do. I am submitting myself completely. Number three, it is also from the Arabic word labba fi makan, a person who stays in one place and he finds himself settled there. So to say the talbiyah is to say, oh Allah, yeah, I am upon your worship and I intend to stay here. I don't intend to go anywhere else. Many of us, we left behind the life of sin. We gave up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of the meaning of talbiyah is to say, I will not go back there. I am here now. I'm in the masjid. I'm teaching Islam. I'm studying Islam. I've given up that life. So this is where I am, that I am now responding to your call, and my hope, my dua, my intention is to remain right here. Is to, you know, like when we perform i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan, what do? We stay in one place, in one masjid. Why? Only for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also means love. Oh Allah, yeah, I am out of love for you. In Arabic, we say, imra'atun labba, a woman who loves her child. She loves it so much. She's overwhelmed with her love for a child. You know that hadith we quoted many weeks ago when we spoke about the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that the Prophet saw this woman looking frantically for her child. Where's my son or my daughter? And then this was after a battle, so you can imagine the carnage and the confusion, but she finally finds this child and she hugs this child and embraces this child. And so the Prophet turns to his companions and he says, do you think that this woman would throw her child into a fire? So of course the Sahaba said, never, Ya Rasulullah, she will never do something like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah is more merciful to his creation than this woman is to her child. So I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love Allah. We love Allah. And so that's why when we do our ibadah, it is not heavy, it's not difficult, it's not burdensome. We do it with joy and happiness. We do it out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the last of these meanings is that the lub of something, where the word talbiyah comes from, is that which is sincere, and that is with that which is without any defects and without any impurities. I am here, Ya Allah, for you and only you. I have no worldly desire. I am not here because people pay me to be here. I am not here because people praise me when I am here. I am not here for any other reason except for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are more meanings to take, but my dua for myself and for you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those that will respond to His commands and His calls whenever we hear them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who say, Sami'na wa ata'na. Oh Allah, we hear and we obey. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisairi al-muslimina min kulli dhanbin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله حمدا لا ينفد أفضل ما ينبغي أن يحمد وصلى الله وسلم على مصطفين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تعبد. My dear brothers, you all know what's happening in the Muslim world. One does not have to be a researcher or someone who's dedicated his life to understanding what's happening in the Muslim world, to know what's happening in the Muslim world, at least to just read the headlines. What is important for us at these times is that, as I've said in many of my khutbas, is that we focus on ourselves, yes, but that we also focus on the affairs of the Muslims. We focus on what's happening in the Muslim world. And I don't mean places that are far away only. I mean right here, where there are Muslims who will not have enough food to eat on Eid. There are Muslims who will not have new clothing to wear on this Eid. Are they far away? Are they in South Africa? Are they in Yemen only? No, they are here as well. Our focus must be global because we are a global ummah. Our focus must be on all of our brothers and sisters. Are there some of our brothers and sisters that deserve our help more than others, or who are, for the lack of a, or for to say it better, that there are those who need our help more than others? Yes, that's true. But we must have this, you know, the sentiment that none of us truly believe until we love for our brothers what we love for ourselves. In a few days, you'll be celebrating Eid. If you can help others, if you can make their lives better, if you can improve their situation, do so, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they be here or anywhere else in the Muslim world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world. Ya Allah, we ask you to help them wherever they are. Oh Allah, keep them safe. Oh Allah, grant them the kind of peace and security we enjoy here in Malaysia. Oh Allah, grant them the best of this life and the best of the year after, and protect them and us from the punishment of the fire. Allahumma izz al-Islam wa ansur al-Muslimin. Allahumma izz al-Islam wa ansur al-Muslimin. Allahumma izz al-Islam wa ansur al-Muslimin. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Before we start the salah, we are going to celebrate Eid in a few days. My dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you your salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you your slaughtering and your sacrifice on that day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your scale of good deeds heavy with your ibadah. Remember that these days, they are days of eating and drinking and the remembrance of Allah. Do not be as we always are. We remember the first two parts of this hadith and we forget the third one. So let us not forget the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of takbir, attending the five daily prayers and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Aqim as-salah.